You're just like my favorite song going round, round my head. Like my favorite song going round.
First up continues here on TSN 1050. 20 Fingers spinning the hot beats today on the program. Shout out to him, doing a great job this morning. And when we look at the golf world, Coco, of course, Bryson and Brooks at the forefront today, 4 o'clock, the match 5. It's Bryson, who's a slight betting favorite. But Tiger Woods, I mean, still moves the needle after all these years. 45 years old, posts a 3-second video last week, and the caption, making progress. So when Tiger returns to prominence, so does our next guest. It is Bob Weeks, TSN golf analyst, one of the hosts of Golf Talk Canada, making his long-awaited return to First Stop. Good morning, Bob.
Hello there. Yeah, I thought the golf season was over, and now it just never ends. It just keeps going, right?
Love it.
Well, we're gonna get to some discussion about golf trips. I need you to make some recommendations for my friends and I, because
we need some.
We're talking Myrtle Beach. We're talking about Arizona. Now you have all the details on that, but why don't we start with the report yesterday at a Golf Week that they're leaving a spot open at the PNC Championship for Tiger and Charlie. What are you hearing behind the scenes about that possibility, Bob?
Yeah, that came to light about a week and a half ago that there were some sort of 1+1 = father-son championship. You know, Tiger posted the video of him making progress. There was also some rumors about he and Charlie playing a couple of holes together, or at least walking a couple of holes together, or maybe more properly, riding a couple of holes together, but they were out playing golf. So there's all these little teasers. I still think it might be a bit of a stretch to think that that they can do this. But the one advantage of playing in the father-son championship that might make it possible is that Tiger could ride in a cart. So I don't think he's ready to walk 72 holes or 54 holes or even 18 holes at this point from what we're hearing. But I think there's some legitimacy to this, and they might be able to sort of finagle a team way to get the ball around. So maybe Tiger's not ready to hit a driver off the tee, but if you recall last year when this, Charlie was hitting most of the drives because he was way up front. So, I think there's some realistic possibilities that might be when we see Tiger back on the golf course playing golf for the first time, which I think starts December 16th.
I'm thinking that next golf season, Bob, I'm going to wear a compression sleeve on my right leg, just like Tiger, regardless of the health, just to maybe get that added boost.
Is that going
to
be the new look for golfers now?
Yeah, everybody.
Tiger rocked the red. People started wearing the red. He wore the T-dub hat. People wore the T-dub. Now this guy is going to rock the sleeve, and that's the thing you're going to see, people wearing sleeves on today because Tiger did it.
You know what? If you didn't think golfers already had bad enough tans with all sorts of strange lines, imagine when you take that thing off and go to the swimming pool, you're going to have one brown leg and one white leg.
I remember, man, there were times in the golf season where like I took my shoes off, my socks off, I looked down and like my eyes were hurting because my feet were so white in comparison to the rest of my body. But I don't know, that's a couple months away, I suppose, at this point. But you know, you'll give us some golf destinations. Carlo and I may be thinking about some live remotes, Bob. Maybe the Golf Talk Canada crew could join us.
Right.
Could figure something out.
Sure, yeah.
Let's do it.
Go ahead, Coco.
Easy, we're happy to do that. Yeah, lots of good spots where we can get those funny tans.
So, Bob, you were teasing that, talking about Tiger's return next month at the PNC where he gets to play with his son. And you said that, you know, based on what you know about his health status, what do you know about his health status that may make people believe that maybe there is a chance that the Masters is where we could see Tiger Woods? I still think that's a stretch. How do you feel about that?
Listen, anything with Tiger is always based on a little bit of hard news and a lot of kind of speculation because he keeps everything pretty close to the vest. He's always done that. So, you know, we can look at a couple of clues. First off, what some of the other players are talking about who go to visit him, who, you know, Tiger's got a 3-hole golf course on his property in Florida. So they go out there and maybe hit some balls. And I think the general gist is from people like Justin Thomas and Rory is that, you know, Tiger's out there and he's hitting balls. The second thing that sort of tweaked my eye was when we saw that 3-second video, if you looked at what was around him, there was a ginormous bucket of balls. It wasn't the small bucket. It was the large bucket. There was a pretty healthy divot pattern, which means that he's been out there for a little bit. He wasn't just hitting one or two shots. He'd obviously been there for a little bit. And then he had his launch monitor is also there, which indicates that he's not just kind of hitting balls to see if he can do it, but probably kind of measuring where he's at, how far the balls are going, and how the flight of the ball is, all that kind of information that he wants. So that all that kind of leads me to believe that he's probably further down the road than we'd led to have been believed, maybe, you know, as early as, say, 3 weeks ago or a month ago. So that's kind of where we are. And I think Augusta is legitimate now based on those facts. It's still going to be, to me, not so much about him playing golf, but him getting around the golf course. You know, one of our good pals and now a TSN guy, Graham Dillette, has had the same issue. He can play golf with his buddies back in Boise where he lives, but he does that for 18 holes and he rides a cart. Walking the 18 holes is going to be the biggest mountain for anybody who's been injured to get back to competitive form.
Bob Weeks is our guest. You know him as TSN's golf analyst, one of the hosts of Golf Talk Canada. So today, 4 p.m., I'm pumped. Bryson versus Brooks. And I do feel, Bob, not to pour cold water on the event, at this point in time, considering all the time that has passed since the initial foray of Bryson versus Brooks and the Ryder Cup success and the hug, the acrimony between those two players, probably not what it once was, and they'll try to play it up today. For golf obsessors like you and I mean, we'll be dialed in for the entirety of the event, but how do you think the average fan kind of views this one at this point in time?
Well, as is the case with a lot of these things, you know, it's not so much about these guys playing golf. And so, you know, them out on the golf course is really only interesting if they start throwing barbs at each other or if in the announce booth, Charles Barkley and Phil Mickelson kind of light them up a little bit. I don't think anybody's really here to see the shots. You know, yes, it's going to be great to see Bryson, you know, hit one of his monster long drives and perhaps Brooks try to match him. But I don't think the golf part of this is what's really driving us. It's those two guys back and forth. And yeah, we had a little hug at the Ryder Cup, a couple of them actually. It was a little bit forced, I think. But these guys don't like each other. It's pretty clear. But that's not uncommon on the PGA Tour. There's 156 guys who tee it up every week. And if you think they're all, you know, all on the same wavelength and lots of brotherly love going around, you know, you'd be wrong. There's lots of guys who don't like each other. Theirs has just played out. These guys are masters of social media. They've put it out in front, and perhaps, you know, their dislike for each other actually comes together to help them, because, you know, when the check clears on all these events and stuff, they're going to say, yeah, that's great. I do hate your brother, but I love you when I see my bank account. And I think that's kind of what this comes down to.
Bob, what can you tell us about what they have in store for this match? I know it's 12 holes. Is there certain games that they're playing on each hole? Is there going to be like people that are going to be, you know, riding alongside them that help, you know, push the conversation or the chirps or the banter? What do you know about it?
So from what I understand, it's going to be 12 holes match play, which means it could be over early, but I think they'll play all 12. There is a charitable component to this. There is going to be some in-game betting opportunities from what I've been told. So, you know, longest drive or who's going to win hole one or hole two or things like that, which I think they'll try to bring that up sort of organically. I don't know if it's really organically, but Brooks might say to Bryson, oh, hey, let's do this on this hole closest to the hole or something. And I think you got the Masters in Barkley and Mickelson who are going to be wired in so the players apparently can hear them. So they'll be sticking the needle in there. And those two guys can do it just about as good
nice.
As anybody in
Love
sports.
It.
So I think that part will drive things as well. It's in Vegas at a course called the Wynn, which is part of the Wynn Hotel. It used to be really kind of on the grounds of what some older guys might know as the Desert Inn, which we used to host a big PGA Tour event, the Tournament of Champions, where they'd pay people off in cash. So they, of course, the hope was that they'd go right to the casino and donate it back to the people who put it up. But it's a fun little golf course. I think there'll be hopefully some banter going back and forth and some shots. But there's as I said before, you know, it'll be interesting to see how much of the golf people will remember when this thing is all over.
Bob, in my group chats with my golf buddies, we've been trying to figure out a potential golf trip probably early next year, maybe February or March. I mean, you've been on countless golf trips. What would you recommend for the average Torontonian? Maybe something that is not overly expensive, but yet a great time to tee it up.
Well, you know, if you're talking about that kind of value budget vacation, then I think Myrtle Beach is a great place to go. They got about a 200 million golf courses there that you could choose from, and they're all pretty good. There's some, you know, there's some better than others, obviously, but it's a pretty good value space. You can go down there, you can play golf, you know, 27 or 36 if you want, and have a nice steak dinner and some beers and watch the sports. That's a pretty good spot to go. I love the Carolinas, and there's some good, really nice spots down in the Carolinas, you know, in Hilton Head and those places. They're a little bit more ritzy, but you can find spots down there with some good good value. And then if you go out in the West Coast, you know, there's some really good places in Arizona that will welcome you down, especially if you go maybe towards a little bit later in the winter, so maybe March and early April, where the high season starts to die off a little bit. Even Vegas, you know, there's some great golf in Vegas. It's not necessarily the cheapest golf, but you can find packages there and make it work. And there's some really, really good golf courses. And of course, the entertainment value is there. It all depends on your level of COVID acceptance and things like that, how much you want to risk and how much you feel comfortable doing. But those places are all pretty good. And as I say, there's still some value there you can find if you look, but it's starting to disappear as more and more people start to travel. That's what I've been hearing.
Well, if the price is a little bit exorbitant, just say, I know Bob Weeks, and you'll get 50% off guaranteed any golf course that you visit. He is Bob Weeks from TSN and Golf.Canada. Don't refute that, Bob. It's a fact.
They'll grab you by the collar and kick your arse at the front door if you say that.
Especially with that mustache he's got going on.
That is true. Oh, yeah, Bob, quickly, any curling picks for us this weekend?
Wow, Tracy Fleury looks pretty good right now on the women's side, and I think Brad Gushue is going to be good on the men's side, but there's still a couple of draws you can get some wagering on, and there's some good odds if you look around. I'll be posting some stuff a little bit later on today about my picks for today's play.
I have my Twitter alerts already set. Thank you very much for the time, Bob. We appreciate it.
Take care, guys.
All right, that is Bob Weeks from Golf Talk Canada, and yeah, he's also a curling gambling expert as well, Coco. Apparently his picks have been red hot on the TSN Edge Twitter account, so you're going to want to follow them there. I got a text from Al's brother. We know him as the host of Leafs Lunch from Overdrive. He says that I am spreading misinformation about his Swiss Chalet lunch. I'm very confused, surprised to hear that. So I think it's only natural we'll call up Al's brother on the other side to wrap up the week here on First Up. We'll be back with Al's brother next.